The essential masculine disposition is that there's an isness to being right now that is sufficient. And it's the practice instability of that realization moment to moment that defines your maturity of practice. So, you know, great Rinpoches and Tulkus, they've practiced perhaps for lifetimes, but in any case, they've certainly practiced this lifetime, usually from a very early age, surrounded by incredibly strong practitioners, people who are trained traditionally. They have playtime as children and things like that, but there's a lot of training going on. So that their whole life basically becomes a practice. And the practice goes through stages, and since we're in a Buddhist place, I'm just going to use some Buddhist terminology, but you don't have to know any Buddhism. But in the evolution of Buddhism, and those of you who are traditional Buddhists, just permit me some poetic license. I'm kind of going to be a little loose here so I could speak to everybody. The evolution of Buddhism went through three stages, the Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. And the Hinayana, I'm going to translate them into our terms. It's a method of practicing. So basically, if negative emotions come up, like lust, you just basically witness them and observe them. And you work with negative emotions to diminish them. So successful Hinayana practitioners can access consciousness as it is. And if negative emotions arise, they know how to position themselves relative to it so they don't get disturbed by the disturbing emotions. Well, that works, but it only works to get you so far what some traditions call like an arhat or a self-enlightenment for me, enlightenment for my own sake. I'm enlightened. And people realize that's a kind of limitation. There's the second stage. You could be enlightened for everybody's sake. You could seek enlightenment for the sake of all beings. And so the Bodhisattva's, the Mahayana version of that, so I'm going to seek enlightenment for the sake of everybody, all beings, and in fact I might postpone my final dissolution for the sake of working with all beings. So the shift went from, and I'm going to put it in sexual terms, I'm going to deal with sex so it doesn't bother me, to how can I deal with sex so everybody benefits? So in the Mahayana version of sexual practice, if I'm allowed to say that, we would not only practice for the benefit of all beings, but we work with what are called negative emotions in a way to transform them. So what kind of antidotes can you learn to various, like lust and greed and things that contract people and close them down? What kind of antidotes can we apply to them? Visualizations of goodness and loving kindness, and you basically replace the negative constraining emotions with positive ones. So instead of hating people, you practice loving people. You even can practice things where you inhale everybody's negative darkness and emotions and give them light, and you're willing to take on everyone's negativity, to literally breathe it in and then to give them light, which is another traditional practice. So you're basically practicing at the Mahayana level for the sake of all beings, and the practice isn't simply to witness the disturbing emotion and therefore be free of it, but to transform it into love. So you take the greed and lust and so forth, and you transform it through various ways into love and compassion and service to others. But then there's another step, which kind of corresponds to what I call the third stage, the Vajrayana tradition. So the Hinayana, first stage Buddhism, so to speak, would be, I'm getting enlightened for my sake. To do that, I'm going to avoid negative emotions. I'm going to avoid women. I'm going to avoid sex. I'm going to avoid meat. I'm going to avoid drugs. I'm going to meditate and achieve enlightenment. Mahayana, second stage, I'm not going to avoid society. I'm going to live in a community, a big sangha community. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to learn to not simply witness my emotions, but transform the negative ones into positive ones. That's a beautiful thing. The Vajrayana perspective comes next, the third stage, which is, wait a second. Because as soon as you start feeling those so-called negative emotions fully, with no fear, which is what we're practicing to do here, and some people really are doing it, and some people are yet to do it. But when you really feel the intensity of your fear, your hate, all of that stuff, in Buddhist terms, it's called the poison becomes a wisdom. So the very thing that seemed like a poison is actually its own medicine.
For information about books, recordings, and upcoming live events with David Data, please visit data.info. That's DEIDA.info.